This is WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line. We're talking law and order this morning. Captain Clayton Williams is with us from the Murfreesboro Police Department. It's a beautiful day out today, 70, 71, 72 degrees right now.
Yep.
Nice.
Little damp, but that's okay.
Yeah, dampness keeps you cool.
That's right.
Is it sprinkling already?
Yeah, if you're out there and you're listening and driving, just maybe slow down a little bit, allow your time extra stop, because things do tend to get a little slippery during this very first time that comes down.
And we're supposed to have some rain a little bit later today, not anything serious this morning.
No, I think this isn't going to last long. Looks like in the coming days we may see some, but we need it. So, I mean, it's time.
Order mentioned at 9 o'clock this morning, we're going to be up at the courthouse, and everybody is invited to be there. And we won't be there on the radio, but we'll be there for the ceremony that's going to eventually take down the sycamore tree.
A lot of history going on there.
176 years.
Wow. Things like that you don't think about a lot of times, but I guess because of where it's at and, you know, located where everybody comes by and sees, it's kind of that's a big deal.
Yeah, very definitely. Larry Flowers is with us.
Yeah, 18. Awesome. I'm pleasantly surprised to see Larry come and join us today.
How are you, Larry?
Good morning. Good morning. Just left from over a tour of a leadership Rutherford at the police department, so had to snap a few photos before I came.
Yeah. Well, that's a good organization to have over there, and they were just named number one in the whole state of Tennessee for leadership programs.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
I mean, we got a neat place here.
Well, when you have alumni like yourself come through and, you know, things like that, you know, good people, that's what makes it, right?
Well, tell us about what's happening at the police department.
Well,
sounds like I'm about to lose my voice.
I'm telling you, I know I hate when that happens. You know, we're in an odd season of transition, you know, where everybody, it seems like after Halloween happens, then it's just everything flips to kind of holiday, you know, pretty quick. So, you know, we, for our world, we start kind of looking at the future for the next year with some budget and things like that at the end of this year. So those are things that are kind of on our mind that we start looking forward to next year and what's going to come down the pipe. But yeah, it's a good time. You know, things are settling. The time change, everybody's getting used to that. A lot more darkness. But yeah, everything's going well. We're starting to, like I said, look toward next year, what 2025 brings, and doing good things. I had the opportunity yesterday to meet with a class of new recruits. We just started another new class of police officers. These are actually lateral officers, so it's kind of neat. I know you talk about this in other contexts, Bart, a lot, how we're seeing people continually coming here to our community and want to get engaged and want to be part of what's going on here. Not that necessarily where they were at was you know, bad or anything, but they see, I think, the opportunities, and I think they see the great community, great schools, great you know, infrastructure, civic organizations that are here, and it's neat to see that happen. And we welcome them and tell them, hey, you know, we love transplants, and, you know, wish you the best and excited to have you.
And as you look at the Christmas season, you mentioned the Christmas season, it's on us right now. What are there, are you doing preparation for that already?
So, you know, Christmas season, there's a couple things that are come every year that we can kind of count on. You know, as those things get closer, especially once school lets out, you know, when they get on to their break, it's really closer to the holiday. We look at kind of how our resources are and those last big days of retail shopping to try to put people in place to, you know, manage that traffic and that volume and be there just to kind of keep people safe and respond if there are any issues. But and then, of course, Christmas parade, you know, you have that coming up. That's a big event that takes several of our folks to pull off. So we'll start, you know, working with our partners there and planning on that. But, you know, it seems like everything just goes so fast. You know, we're here at the end of this year, and it all just kind of easy to talk about now in spaces, but it just seems like it's one fluid just swing, and you're like, oh, wow, here we go. So, but yeah, no, we're cognizant of that. I know it's, I said this before, it's just sometimes it's a little weird because the retail shopping is not the same way it used to be around that time. Probably it's even morphed into, in the last couple of years, I'm getting advertisements now from big retailers like Black Friday deals now, and I'm like, we're not even close. I'm like, how's this even possible? So I think retailers have tried to figure out a way to stretch that momentum a little bit farther. A lot of it is online, which in a sense, there's pros and cons to that from a law enforcement side. You know, anything that can, you know, make volume a little more manageable. Used to, when we would cringe there to kind of toward the height of doorbuster sales, because I mean, you would drive through a parking lot of a major retailer at 3 a.m. and you would see people just lined up out the door. You know, luckily here, I don't think we had any major incidents, but I mean, you saw stories out of even larger cities where people were getting injured and trampled and fights and things like that. So I hope this has kind of helped that in some areas. But we're a vibrant community. I mean, you know, a lot of those things for us as a city, we hope all that season goes well, because those monies that come in and those revenues, you know, it's all goes to support the city. So we hope people still feel that urge and want to come here and shop and do those things and enjoy the restaurants and all the stuff that we have to offer here.
Absolutely. Shop local.
Yeah.
Exactly. Let me ask you this. We have a card for a question from a listener, a text message, and they say that they are a manager of a local business, and they're wondering is the Murfreesboro Police going to continue offering classes to help retailers learn what to do and be safe during the holidays?
So, classes, I don't know if any specific ones are set up. However,
had you done that in the past?
We did, and they were kind of more, they were very generic. They were just kind of applicable across trying to reach a mass group. I think what we've tried to transition to now is more of a tailored approach. You know, Sergeant Mike Turner and Lieutenant Amy Denton, she's still kind of working part of that. Sergeant Turner does most of the actual inside. If we get those requests from businesses that want some information or training and things like that, and we try to in order to maximize the efficiency of that, get the best bang for their buck. It doesn't cost anything, but for their time wise, we try to tailor that to specific needs that they may have. Whether that might be, you know, safety planning or emergency planning, things like that. So we still do that. If somebody's interested in getting more information about that, they can contact Sergeant Mike Turner at the Murfreesboro Police Department. If you call our main line, 615-849-2673, you can get to him directly, or you can email him at 0240@murfreesborotn.gov.
Okay. So, and that would be tailored directly to your needs.
Yeah, because sometimes it's something small and sometimes it's something a large undertaking that might take some more time and planning. But so that way he can kind of understand exactly what it is they're trying to achieve and how we can best help.
Very good. Here's another. This is sort of a different question. This person said that they had read somewhere that with the change in time, the shorter daylight hours, that this brought about an increased volume of traffic accidents. Have you noticed that happening, or is this something that's always happening at this time of year?
Yeah, I don't know that I would say that the time change necessarily has to do with, you know,
I'd never heard that before.
You know, I think any time, just statistically, if you're driving at night, the likelihood of something going wrong increases just because of lower visibility. I will say this, you know, and this isn't necessarily with the time change, but we can see from our, especially with pedestrians trying to cross roads, you know, we've participated in a couple of different campaigns and even some grant funded projects with the Highway Safety Office, because we were seeing an increase in pedestrian crashes. But a lot of it was because people were trying to cross the road without a signal. They wouldn't be very well lit. It was dark, and it's just kind of a recipe for disaster there. And those things are tragic. And we don't want any of that to happen. So, I say that to say that's one, if they're asking specifically, I know one thing we see once that in those dark hours, it can become more dangerous for pedestrians not using crosswalks. But at night, just like with rain, we said earlier, allow a little more time to stop, use your lights and take your time and slow down.
Remember those things, and let's not have as many accidents.
Anything we can do to get that number down, everybody wins.
Very definitely. We keep hearing one of the biggest issues for Murfreesboro and Rutherford County is traffic. Traffic. Well, there's not too much you can do about it. I'm not sure. I was coming into town the other day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon thinking I'm going to miss all of this homing, homeward-bound traffic.
Mm-hmm.
It was out there, 3 o'clock, bumper to bumper.
Mm-hmm.
Where are these people coming from? Where are they going?
I wish I knew. I think a lot of times, even though it's still in Rutherford County, you know, folks that have to commute to Nashville, I know Larry's told stories where used to have to go to the news station a lot of times, and just the time he would have to allot to get there on time, and it that just I mean makes everybody stressed, adds time out of your day. But you're right, it's roads and infrastructure is a long, arduous, expensive process, and it, as we continue to grow, you know, the census is going on right now. It'll be interesting to see what that number looks like, and then you add that with what they call daily use traffic, people that you're either traveling through or to here to work or shop or just going through here to get to ultimate destination. But I think it's something in the long-term plan the city is undertaking, but it's just like New Salem Highway. If you look at that project, that's going to be a huge benefit once it's completed, but it is a...
Will it be completed in our lifetime?
I didn't say it, Bart.
It goes all the way down to Old Fort Parkway.
Yep.
And that one just seems like it just keeps going.
Yeah. It's almost like what they say, the last 10 yards of the project, that's always the hard. You know, the part that's worked, once you pass the interstate there, it's wonderful going west. You know, you have four lanes all the way and all, and I hope the whole that will help the situation as it gets closer to Old Fort Parkway. But just those, and maybe, you know, there's a lot of things. You got utilities, a lot of underground stuff going on there they have to go through, and then now we're going into winter. Sometimes that slows down with the weather doesn't participate, but it's hard because people complain about the traffic, but then even when you get to the point of intervention, the pains even sometimes become worse because people are frustrated having to deal with the in-between section. So I don't envy our leadership on that, about pulling on those projects. We just try to work within it and support. It's a thing.
Well, you know, they're about to daylight Town Creek. That project's going to begin in the next few weeks or month. I think they have a start date that is sort of mandated by some grant money that they've received. That's going to bring a whole new look to the downtown area.
Yes, sir.
Will it bring some challenges to the police?
Well,
traffic-wise,
I don't know about traffic. I haven't seen details of how that's going to impact Broad Street directly. I think for us, for law enforcement, you know, just like with the parks and the other places, anytime you have a place that is a gathering or, you know, designed for people to frequent and spend time at, it's something we have to consider. You know, I don't know if this is intended, but we often have a lot of special events like on the square. You know, with that coming, will there be places over there so things will be hosted, things of that nature. But we'll adapt to it, and I think it's great. The drawings I've seen as far as what the actual look like is going to be, it looks beautiful. It's going to be quite a change for and facelift for this area, and I hope it'll bring more civic engagement, excuse me, growth, and just more places for people to as it continues to bump the downtown crowd, because I know a lot of where people want to be, and it's the things that just look at Farmers Market and some of the concerts on the square and events that I know we have, it does bring a lot of people together, and it kind of keeps that downtown vibe and those businesses and things there and viable. And it's you know, I think as a community, we don't want to lose that. So we're excited about it, and you know, we will support it in any way.
I tell you, I'm really proud of the city of Murfreesboro for their ability to do even construction jobs. We haven't seen this, that, or if we have, we haven't known about it. But they just completed a bridge, the Tommy Bragg Bridge, which the city built. And then they built something. What they're putting in all of these speed humps, is, or they call them something else.
I mean, the generic term for all traffic calming devices.
Traffic calming, yeah. That's, I like that word. It's very British.
Yes. See, yes.
It's a traffic calmer. it will calm you down if you don't.
It'll calm you down or wake you up, one or the other.
But the city's really involved in doing this construction. They built a whole new road on over to what is it, Rose?
Beezy? You're talking
about? No, well, I don't know. No, no. That's the one that Tommy is. Tommy Bragg is on. But it's over next to the new water department.
The extension of Gateway Boulevard there.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. That, you know, and that was just smart planning right there to kind of ease up. If you've ever tried to go that way, Robert Rose and Thompson is kind of a choke point, you know, for a lot of people. Either trying to get over to 96 Thompson Lane or continue to the, so the, that having that ability to get over, like if you need to go to the hospital, if you have a doctor's appointment, that, and when we see things like that, we like it for us, because as first responders, having multiple avenues to be able to get to places, it just works better. And you know, we feel those traffic complaints as well, so that anything that can help divert some of that and offer another opportunity is great.
Our hats off to the city on that one.
Yeah.
Tell you what, let's do, let's pause for just a moment. If you have a question or a comment, give us a shout. You can text them to us, 615-893-1450. That's the easiest way, 615-893-1450. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'll look at the news, views, politics, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Listen each weekday morning at 9 o'clock for the Roundtable here on News Radio WGNS.
From brakes and alignments to new tires and wheels, Tire World, locally owned and operated in Murfreesboro, Smyrna, and Laverne.
Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
Online at tireworld.us.
WGNS encourages you to shop local. Let's patronize our local family businesses. We also remind you that the Red Cross is critically low on blood. So please give the gift of life to our local Red Cross. Right now, phone them and set up an appointment to give blood at a time that fits your schedule. Phone 800-RED-CROSS. There are some great plays to enjoy. Beautiful, the Carole King musical. That's playing at the Center for the Arts in Uptown Murfreesboro, along with the classic Guys and Dolls at the Art Center of Cannon County in neighboring Woodbury. And John Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men is performed by Bravo Burrow. That's at the Mills Pate Arts Center on the old Nashville Highway. Attention Murfreesboro parents, you can sharpen your child's basketball skills while also encouraging positive spiritual change. Learn more about Coach Andy Herzer's First Shot. It's for ages 5 to 14. Get with Coach Herzer at First Shot Basketball. Remember the name, Coach Andy Herzer at First Shot Basketball. Those are WGNS Good Neighbor events.
Market declines, unemployment, oil prices. Don't let headlines derail your long-term financial strategy. I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Lee Colvin. I'll work with you to help you understand the impact of short-term events and how to be positioned for the long term. We provide the tools for a disciplined approach to investing. Call 615-907-7056 for an opportunity to discuss your situation. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Find it at the ReStore, yeah.
Welcome to the ReStore. What are you looking for today?
Do you have any area rugs?
We got it. And all of our lighting is 50% off here at the ReStore.
Find it at the ReStore.
If you need trim or molding, come on down here to see us at the ReStore.
The Habitat ReStore at 850 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Murfreesboro.
Remember, we got it today, but it may be gone tomorrow.
Find it at the ReStore, yeah.
Adam's Place is tailored to you.
Well, I'm on the salt-free diet, also very good to help.
And exercise?
Well, I do a lot of walking. I have a bad back.
Peggy Cunningham invites you to...
just come on and live with us.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111.
On Memorial.
Across from Walmart.
This is Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station. FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450. WGNS. Murfreesboro.
Hey, want to say congratulations today to Tamaria Sanders, our good neighbor of the day. Tamaria Sanders, good neighbor of the day. She'll be receiving flowers from our friends over there at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. Let them know who the good neighbor should be. And who knows? They may be the next good neighbor to receive flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. We're talking law and order this morning. Captain Clayton Williams is with us, along with Public Information Officer Larry Flowers. They're from the Murfreesboro Police Department. Lots happening. Interesting question here from a listener, and they're asking us about ways to reduce some of the store's vulnerability to being sort of a victim of shoplifters. There were certain stores here in Murfreesboro, and regularly you could depend on them being having a group of shoplifters just blanketing. There's coming in four or five people at once, and I guess it confused people, what have you.
I remember that. It was on the daily, or every weekend it was almost, you could count on it. And one of the things that particular retailer did is they took some measures to change out the layout of the way the checkout system and purchasing system was done. They also added some in-store security that they hired, and that seems to have helped. And then, as Larry mentioned on break, they've also changed their location. So we hope that those things are continue to work. It was not only a tax on them; it was a tax on services as well, because we were constantly having to go out there and spend a lot of time investigating those cases and that's what we get paid to do. But you know, it just, at some point you have to find more creative solutions to work on prevention when you see a pattern like that. So yeah, there you'll also notice, and I know we get calls about this all the time, I think there's a retailer, it's a hardware store on Old Fort, you'll see a trailer with a blinking blue light, and they say, is that the police? And you know, that's their trailer. It's a security trailer. Now that particular one, they also do hire off-duty officers to monitor the parking lot and monitor retail center. You know, that's always an option if people feel like that's what they need. But we try to work together with those folks, because we, like I said, we feel that pain as well. So if it's something you got questions about, or you know, want to get insight on what other folks have done, you've got a business, like I said, that would be a great question for Sergeant Turner to try to work through some of those things. Again, that number is 615-849-2673 or 0240@murfreesborotn.gov. So that season's coming up. You know, retail theft has never gone away, and we see it. I think we see it on the news a lot, especially out on our friends on the West Coast. But it is something we take seriously, and the retailers here take seriously and try to do their best to combat that, because it affects everyone in the long run.
This high-tech crime center that you're working on, and it's probably 80 or 90% finished now, one of the areas, and we've talked about this in the past, is the gun sensing. When a gun is fired, it picks up the sounds, which you can hear all over town, usually at nighttime. Recently, we had a carjacking, which ended in a high-speed chase, but along with that, there was a possible shooting, shooting of a pistol or something at a home out South Church Street area. I think 15 shots, which certainly is enough to be noticed. Was that picked up by your high-tech gun sensors?
Is that the one on Dill Lane, or is that a different one?
Warrior Drive.
Oh, I don't know if that one got picked. I mean, I don't know if that's how that got generated or not on that particular case.
I think they got a call.
I was going to say, But to speak about the gunshot detection, it is something that is up and running now. Our dispatch center receives those alerts. We also have a select few, a pilot group of officers that are receiving those alerts. And really what it does is it's just really going to shorten that hopeful response time, so that either A, if there's a victim, we can get them help, but B, that we can help track this down and collect any evidence to try to bring these people to justice, because there's a lot of back-end forensic work that we can do as we find evidence and from those events, and it often leads to solving other crimes that we weren't even aware of. But it's amazing the forensics can be done with ballistics and firearms now, and so we are fortunate that we've been able to make an investment in those tools and the people and the training and the resources. So that's really the ultimate goal, is to get it to the point where folks know that if you just think you can go and shoot off a gun, you know, that there's a high likelihood that you may get a knock on your door and we'll be able to find out who you are and, you know, bring forth charges. So that's the ultimate goal, to keep, and so that folks will not continue to do that. But again, it's all about being able to get to folks quicker in response time, and we're excited about it. I think we're slated. I talked to our crime analyst supervisor who manages that unit. I think we're going to aim for around November the 18th to try to start rolling that out to where all our officers are getting those alerts in the car. And it's so far the ones we get, it takes them right to where they need to be.
I can't believe
to find that. Yeah. It is. It's amazing.
Within so many feet.
Yeah, within a couple of meters. Yeah. Yeah. So.
And that's just through sound detection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just that picking up that noise, or I should say, no, that sound, and being able to, through that network of sensors, kind of triangulate where that position is. And it's, like I said, the great thing about it is because a lot of times the difference was if you had no victim, no witness, and it didn't even get called, sometimes it wouldn't even get called in. Or if it did, you know, when you hear it outside, like you said, it could be very, very far away, and trying to, maybe where you heard the sound come from as things bounce off buildings and things like that, our officers would try to go locate that evidence and they couldn't find it because they really just didn't know. It was too big of an area to find, you know. So now being able to narrow that down and get it smaller, to find those things, that's going to be huge for us.
Or even worse, have somebody shot and you not know it.
Yes.
And when you find them eventually,
yes,
it's too late.
Yes.
So yep.
No, you're right. Ultimately, the, you know, life safety and keeping folks safe and getting help to those folks that need it, that's the primary goal.
So if you look around, there's a whole lot of high technology in Murfreesboro. Yeah. It's changing police life.
It is, and we're thankful for the investment that City Council and Mayor and Manager have made, a commitment to move forward with these things. We know a lot of times it comes with a lot of questions, and I know Chief and Ryan and our whole staff that involved in that have done spent a lot of time with Council and officials, kind of trying to educate and, you know, run through any scenarios, so that when they get questions from the public, they can be informed and answer those questions and ultimately lead to safer communities, because that's what people want.
So we have the gunshot detector.
Yep.
We have license plate readers.
Yes, sir.
What else is high technology?
The other piece of that is the
public safety
camera system. Yeah. So, again, those are ones that they're not, you know, it's not that we're sitting there watching people, but they're placed in strategic areas historically where we've seen crimes of violence, and hopefully being able to capture images and data if we are responding to a scene, to be able to look around, see what was in the area, what kind of vehicles, what people, to develop intelligence and leads to go back on some of our cases that we get, so that we can try to develop suspects and leads faster to maybe bring some of these crimes to a closure. And that's not just gunshots. That can be anything that happens in the proximity of those areas, to be able to pick up those breadcrumbs. And as the old detective shows, you say, pick up the breadcrumbs, go back to the scene of the crime, you know, and that's still a key, right? It's still the crux of being able to complete an investigation. It's just we do it in different ways now.
And I'm wondering, are you able to get some footage from these cameras that are on the city's traffic cameras?
At this time, it's still just something that is view only. It's just a kind of a loop. It just plays. So I guess, you know, we could have it playing in the room, you know, but to be able to go back and get it, that's not something that's available to us right now. That really wasn't the way that was designed. That would be kind of a question that if they feel like that's something that is, you know, beneficial to the city, that's managed. Those systems are managed throughout our traffic and engineering department. So that would have to be a decision they would have to make. I do know the state put out some grant funding 2 years ago. I think it seems like it's only a year, but it's 2 years for not just our department, but agencies across the state to have some money to put those kind of those license plate readers, not the cameras, but license plate readers on the state right of ways, because they felt like that was important as people, if they come here to commit a crime and then want to get back to where they're going, you know, trying to get to an interstate, and same way in other cities. So those are things that you'll probably see not just in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County, but also other cities around the state that are going to have those to help. Also for those folks that just are traveling through, you know, I know one time we were here, we talked about Felony Lane Gang, and that's just a moniker that's used by people that kind of travel around doing small thefts and from retailers, vehicles, things like, and just continue a path from, you know, one destination to another. But things like that, that's supposedly hoped to help. So once we find a suspect vehicle that's involved in that and we can put that information into that system, we could get an alert if they were to enter our jurisdiction and hopefully be, you know, trying to find those folks before they commit those crimes here.
So get the law enforcement agencies tied together.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Get everybody networking to where, because we get those calls a lot of times from our friends and partners, but oftentimes by the time they put it together there and get it to us, it's too late. They've already either been here or passed through, but this will be able to speed that process up.
Now, I was wondering, you know, when we were talking earlier about this shooting of just wild shots, 15 shots fired, mm-hmm. same time frame that another crime was going on. You were mentioning about getting the bullets and what have you. Can you check those against other crimes? Has that gun been used in another crime?
You hit it on the head. You should come work for us. That's this has been, and man, it seems like old hat now, but we were able to obtain, the system's called NIBIN. It's National Integrated Ballistics Information Network. And just like, it's a database basically that it's maintained by federal law enforcement, but they allow these, like our department, we have this system to where we can run this analysis, put it into the system, and there's been a lot of study and a lot of accepted evidentiary practices with shell casings from firearms that they leave unique markings. And just as you said, if we collect this spent bullet and are able to look at it, it may pop up and say, hey, that was used in Chattanooga 2 weeks ago in a homicide. So that lets us know, hey, we need to dig into this further and see if we can find out if this person's here, then you can work together with that other agency to try to develop this case. And it has proven itself to be fruitful, not only in our jurisdiction, but other jurisdictions as well, to be able to track those bullets back to a gun used in certain crime and know what the gun is, because often these firearms are stolen. They get taken away from criminals. So when we take those firearms, we're able to get that, imprint of that firearm, so we know what kind of mark that it uses. So if those come back around, or we have other shell casings from other crimes that fit that same one, and we know who had the firearm, then we can go back and say, hey, we need to talk to you about this and this and this. So, and often then it hits in other jurisdictions, and they might say, hey, we'd like to talk to that person because we have these incidents associated with that firearm.
This is has to do with cold cases.
Oh, sure.
But we have cold cases on the radio regularly with the district attorney general. And I'm wondering, can you do references like that of checking bullets in a cold case? And would that trace the gun to, well, that was used a month earlier, or, you know, this, we're talking about a long time ago.
Yeah.
Was this available back then?
Absolutely. It's the, I would say they come up more frequently in proximity, but as these things change hands, and it's very possible because someone who, for example, if a criminal knows that they've committed this, you know, heinous crime, something like a homicide, a lot of times they'll be on the run and lay low, if you will, and, you know, so they may not do anything, but oftentimes they may get rid of that firearm. It may find it.
So they too know how it works.
Exactly. Exactly. They know it can be, you know, criminals, they talk, you know, and they understand these things. And as it comes more regularly known and more publicly known, so folks may become more cognizant of that. But we just hope they quit committing the crimes, you know. So that's our hope.
Absolutely.
Hope that with knowing that the likelihood of them getting caught is going to be higher.
Our final segment is right around the corner. If you have a question dealing with law and order here in Murfreesboro, give us a call, 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450. We'll be right back.
Get your good neighbor events to us in writing 2 weeks before they occur. We'll put them on the radio and the internet. WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
Discover hidden treasures at the Garden Patch Thrift Shop on Spring Street in Murfreesboro. Whether you're searching for stylish clothing, sturdy furniture, or even large appliances, we've got them all at prices that you'll love. But here's the best part. 100% of your purchase supports Greenhouse Ministries, serving over 70 families a day. Your shopping dollars go straight back into the community, making a real impact. Shop smart and give back at the Garden Patch Thrift Shop on Spring Street in Murfreesboro.
This is Jenny at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts.
Be a part of their next flower arranging class.
If you are looking for some you time, grab some friends and sign up for a wreath or flower arranging class. It's a great way to relax, learn, and have fun. Refreshments are provided. We are open for other classes. Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts, 117 South Academy, just a couple blocks off the square. Plus, we offer delivery to all Rutherford County and as well as surrounding counties.
WGNS is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. MTE's EV Car Club has hundreds of members and growing. EV owners, enthusiasts, and anyone interested in learning more about electric vehicles is encouraged to sign up at mte.com/EV Car Club.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, and our hand-fed baby bird nursery is starting to fill up. If you are looking for your next sweet feathered companion, come in and see us. Find your next pre-loved, pre-spoiled pet here at Animal City. Be sure to check out our downstairs level. Here at Animal City, we would like to thank Murfreesboro for letting us be your family-owned and operated pet store for 33 years. Animal City is located at 919 Northwest Broad Street.
You know, gift cards are always the easiest gift. This is Peter Demas at Demas's Restaurant. We will buy gift cards and just kind of have them on hand. They're amazing gifts to give to teachers. If you want to give a gift at your workout groups, you know, you have a personal trainer, family members. It's great to give gifts for 16, 17, 18 years old who are just now beginning to date and they need to be able to have some place to take someone on a date to. Gift cards are always the easiest gift. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
The Wake Up Crew, Swap and Shop, Action Line, The Roundtable, Rutherford Issues. We're keeping it local. Weekday mornings here on News Radio, WGNS.
Welcome back. Our phone number, we're in our final few minutes. So if you have a question, better get it in quickly. 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450. We're at the doorsteps of the holiday season. I mean, we really are. We're all just a couple of weeks away from Thanksgiving, and from that point on, it just goes wild.
Yeah, it's like a snowball rolling downhill. It just keeps getting faster and faster and faster, right? Yeah, no, it's we appreciate, like I said, all our folks just want to you know, say thank you to our community. Thanks for all they do to support us. Our officers, we hear stories all the time about all the great accolades and the time. I mean, there's from things of somebody buying somebody a meal or just showing up and telling them thank you. And we just, I don't think we say that enough. And also want to say thanks to the guys and girls at the police department that do all that and make it happen. It's that's what makes it great. And we couldn't do it without good people on both sides.
And we just the other day got a card from a listener who nominates police officers for doing things for people. They were driving down the street, and they said there was a car over on the side of the road, and they drove by it just as the police officer was stopping, and the officer pulled up the hood of the car. It was a broken down car. And he was, I guess, checking the battery and things like that.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, I know we're growing, but we talk about it on our side all the time. About yes, we're a mid to large size agency, but when you look around at some of the things happening in large agencies, to just some of us around us, you know, it's great that we can still do small town policing in the sense of, you know, there's expectations and a community caretaking attitude, and everybody wants what's best for all those involved. And it's nice to know that we're in a place where those relationships between police and the public are positive overwhelmingly. And not to say we're human, we make mistakes. Don't misunderstand that. And we own those. Overall it's just a great place to work and a great place to serve.
Here's an interesting question from a listener asking, are you starting to outgrow the new police department? How long have you been there now?
So we moved there in July of 2018. So we're just a little past 6 years. And I know sometimes that's a sensitive subject. There was some concern about the money spent on that building at the time. But I will tell you, we have filled up every space of it. And that's good. Because we need to grow along with the city growth to keep that level of service high and meet the needs and the demands that the public wants. You know, we're excited about, there's talks about a precinct on the west side of town coming in the future. Those are still happening and still kind of working through that. But yeah, it's a great facility. And, you know, we look back at that, we talk about that investment, and either we understand, and we don't take it lightly. The blessing and the amount of sacrifice that was made to make that building what it is, but yeah, it's probably quadrupled in value today what it would cost if you to do that today versus back then. So I think overall it's going to be there for a long time. I think they said it was a 30-40 year building. So yeah, that's something that's going to be a landmark here and a staple in our community for a long time.
That's interesting about looking at precinct locations. That makes a lot of sense. So that's, as you need more space, that's the direction you're going.
Well, if we just try to look at it as, and I think the city looks at it as, where's the population going? And if you look at the west side of I-24, that's where everything's, the majority of development is happening. So that makes the most sense. And when we think about it in a sense of response time, Interstate 24 is kind of that barrier to go from over here to over there. And we have officers stationed over there, but the way our zone deployments are for the areas for service on that side, some of it encompasses the west side of the interstate, some of the east side of the interstate. So we see that as being, because that community is growing and we want to put something very similar to like what we have here, you know, in that community as well, to where those people on that side, where, because it almost feels like when you talk about Veterans Parkway, I mean, it almost feels like another town. It's so far over there, you know, but having those civic services and having that representation there in a place, you know, to know that that's part of, hey, you got local policing in that community too, is important.
And, you know, one thing that we haven't touched on, as the weather continues to move into winter time, we hit ice and things of that sort. I'm always trying to figure out, how do you get to the other end of town without crossing one of the viaducts that's frozen?
Exactly.
I don't think there's a way. Is there a way to get over there? Can you get to that end of town?
I don't know if you can anymore. Warrior Drive, you know, you can, if you,
yeah,
if you went around to church,
you're right, yeah,
but you still have to go over the interstate to get to Warrior. Yes. I don't know, Bart, that's an interesting, I've never thought about that.
I try to think about it to avoid slippery bridges. Yeah.
I'm going to have to look at a map and see, is there any way to get over there without crossing the interstate?
Everybody needs, that's one of those things everybody needs to
know. We'll leave everybody hanging on that one this week.
That's right.
That's
got to keep you hanging.
Ponder for the day.
So what is, here we are about a minute and a half left in the program on the doorsteps of Thanksgiving. Christmas is around the corner. What do people need to be doing right now to enjoy the holidays more and be safe at the same time?
I'll go back to my set answer, and that is, number one, you know, try to slow down a little bit. Don't be in such a hurry, whether that be in your the way you're carrying yourself or the way you're driving. You know, shop smart. If you're gonna, I know we talk about this a couple. If you're gonna have things delivered to your house, just don't make them where they're sitting out on the porch all day, you know, where that makes it easy for something to pick up. Use a neighbor, use a Dropbox location, have it delivered to your work. But just try to enjoy the time. Like I said, we talked about how fast things move, and just enjoy the time, be neighborly, treat people how you want to be treated, and let's just keep making this community great.
And on that note, we say special thank you to Captain Clayton Williams and Public Information Officer Larry Flowers for joining us this morning. Don't forget, come on up to the square at 9 o'clock this morning, about 30 seconds from now. The Sycamore goodbye ceremony will be happening. We'll see you on the square. This is WGNS Murfreesboro. It's 9 o'clock.